Bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Psalm 119. In verse 160, the Word of God says, God's Word is true from the beginning. Okay? So, the beginning of a matter starts with this. God's Word is true. No matter what it is that is in your life, it always starts with this one thing. God's Word is true. God's Word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endures forever. Now, what are the righteous judgments of God? These are the things that happen in my life. These are the righteous judgments of God. This is the plan of God as it's worked out. It's the finished work in the practical expression of the details of a person's life. Not just the finished work that I am forgiven, although certainly that is also a part of it. Not just the finished work that I am perfected in Him, although that is a part of it. But the finished work as in the plan of my life, the finished work as in the details of my life. Do you understand that every detail of your life has a beginning, middle, and end? Well, at the very beginning of every detail of our lives, God's Word is true, and that's how that detail starts. God's Word is true from the beginning. In Psalm 119:89, the Word of God says, "Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven." So, God's Word is true from the beginning, and it's already settled in heaven. It's already established all the things of my life, because really, if Christ is in me, isn't my life simply an existence of God's Word? If I am in Christ, and Christ is in me, and Christ is the living Word, then my life and the practical details of my life are simply the expression of the Gospel, are simply an expression of the Word of God. Isn't that why Paul said we are epistles, living epistles? Because our lives are simply an expression of the Word of God. It's true from the very beginning, and it is forever settled in heaven. The details of your life are not new. The details of your life were established in eternity past, and they will be continuous till eternity future, because we have everlasting life. We have eternal life. We are in Christ, and therefore we are in a new timeline. We are not in a temporal timeline. We are in a spiritual timeline. This is one of the things that frustrates believers sometimes, is when God says, "I'm getting to it," and we're saying, "I'm waiting," and God says, "Just wait." Right? Because God's not that worried about time. We've got eternity. God says, "You have eternity. What are you worrying about?" "God, I have maybe 70, 80, 90, 100 years if I'm very fortunate." God says, "You have eternity. What are you worried about?" Your life is not limited to the temporal. Your life is eternal. You see, there is a continuation of what was. In other words, there is a continuation of eternity past and the plan that God established from before the foundation of the world. There is a continuation of the finished work, which was the works were finished, Hebrews 4:3, from the foundation of the world. What that's saying is the foundation of the world came out of the finished work. And there is a continuation to my experience in time, but there's also a continuation beyond that. All into all of eternity. The passage between life and death is simply a passage of a moment, and then I move to another location. But it's not that I'm God. It's like a missionary. Okay? It's actually like a missionary coming home. I've been on the mission field for so many years, and then I come home off of the mission field, and I go, if you will, to home base. I go to New Jerusalem, where I am at home, where I don't have to worry about, am I going to evangelize or preach, or how many tracts do I have. It is a place where I can rest and receive and get built up and be loved up. And this is simply what it means. This is that continuation. There is a continuation there. There is a solid continuum. It's not just I am in time. It's I am in eternity. And right now, I'm passing through time. Now, the Word of God is forever settled in heaven, and it was true from the very beginning of everything in my life. Consider that in 2 Timothy 3:16, that this Word, all Scripture, is God-breathed. Do you understand? All Scripture is God-breathed. That's what that word there means, inspired. All Scripture is God-breathed. Now, the same Holy Spirit that breathed into me the breath of life also breathed out the Scripture. That means the very breath that I have in me is the breath that proclaims the Word of God. And so there's this oneness between a believer and God's Word, just like there's a oneness between the believer and God. There's a oneness between the believer and God's Word. We are inseparable. We are inseparable. I may be, let's say, a radio not functioning, or I may be a radio functioning, but we are still inseparable. I may actually proclaim, or I may not proclaim, but we are inseparable. And so I have to realize that because these things are so, that in this world there are absolutes. The world doesn't like to believe in absolutes. The world wants to believe in their gray areas. Gray areas lead to unbelief and confusion. Nothing is really confusing. The place where things get confusing is where my flesh gets involved through one means or another, perhaps unbelief, perhaps a lust pattern where I want something, but God says one thing and I say another, and now I enter into confusion. And the world says that this confusion is normal and even healthy or good, but it's not. God is not the author of confusion. God is the author of clarity, of a precise sound in 1 Corinthians 14, of a certainty, of an absolute. And the fact that Scripture is God-breathed, that it came from the very thing that makes me alive, the fact that it is forever settled in heaven, the fact that God's Word is true from the beginning, from that point and on, it is true. That tells me that there are not only absolutes, there are things that are absolutely absolute. I have to live in that which is absolutely absolute. Why? Because if I don't, I enter into these points of confusion. If I don't, I enter into relativism. If I don't, I enter into opinion. If I don't, I don't stand on a rock, I stand on sand. So we enter into things that are absolutely absolute. Now in my life, I want that which is absolutely absolute. I don't like uncertainty. I don't know anyone who does. But do I really have to have uncertainty? Now, I may not know the end of a matter, but I know that it will be better than the beginning of the matter. And that is absolutely absolute. How do I know it is so? The Word of God tells me this. So I know that the thing, end of a thing is better than the beginning thereof in Ecclesiastes 7:8. You see, this is absolutely absolute. Why is it absolutely absolute? Because God breathed that verse. God breathed that truth. God didn't just speak it. He breathed it. He made it alive. The Word of God to me is a living Word. It's an organism. It's something that dwells in a heart. It's something that takes over that heart. It takes over that mind. And it has a life of its own. It speaks to me. And it speaks to me in these absolutes. Because the Word of God came from the breath of God. I know that the Word of God is alive because the breath that makes me alive is the very breath that breathed it out. And so we know that there are absolutely absolutes. For all the promises of God in Him are yea and in Him amen. 2 Corinthians 1:20. All the promises of God in Him are yea and amen. Do you understand what He's saying here? He's giving a very dogmatic statement. It's like when Jesus would repeat certain things. He's giving a very dogmatic statement. He said, this is absolutely absolute, that all the promises of God in Him are yea and amen. There is not one promise in the Word of God that can fail. It cannot fail any more than God can fail, because Christ is the living Word. And so if there is a promise in the Word of God, that promise is incapable of failing. That promise will come to pass. I don't care what details you want to throw out in front of it to rationalize it away. You cannot rationalize God away. You cannot rationalize His Word away, because His Word is forever settled in heaven. It is established. It is absolutely absolute. It is true from the beginning. It is breathed by God. So all the promises of God in Him are yea and amen. It is impossible for God to lie in Hebrews 6:18. It is absolutely absolute that it's impossible for God to lie. That means if God gave me promises, if God gave me definition, if God gave me direction, it is incapable of failing. Why? Because it is impossible for God to lie. He's not going to lie. He is not capable of it. He is not a man, nor the son of a man, that he should lie or change his mind. How many people think God has done so much for me, but He's going to change His mind and now take it away from me? Well, that's absolutely wrong. It is absolutely absolute that He that called you will also do it. That I don't have to do it, that God does it. If God brought you into a circumstance, then God is going to sustain you and bring you through, completely guide you right through that circumstance. If God brings you to the Red Sea, that only means that God's going to part the Red Sea. That is absolutely absolute. I can have complete confidence, complete assurance, complete trust, complete, get this, knowledge and conviction that if I meet the Red Sea is parting. It is absolutely absolute. It cannot be any other way. It is God breathed. That if God guides me in a situation, faithful is He who called you, who will also do it. Absolutely absolute. That means if there's a call in my life, I need worry about nothing except staying in that call. I don't need to worry about my provisions. I don't need to worry about the plan. I don't need to worry about how it's going to come about. I don't have to worry about making things happen. I don't worry about anything except staying in the call wherein I have been called. That is absolutely absolute. You think God brings you somewhere, how am I going to sustain it? You're not. God is. It didn't say faithful is He who's called you, who will then have you do it. It says faithful is He who's called you, who will also do it. Also, in addition to calling you, He will perform the action of your calling. That is absolutely absolute. The world doesn't like confidence. The world doesn't like assurance in the Word of God. Much of religion doesn't like confidence and assurance in the Word of God. They would say that we are presumptuous for saying we are going to heaven. But didn't the Word of God say that if I am born again, I will see the kingdom of God? Of course it did. It is absolutely absolute. Didn't the Word of God say that we've passed from death unto life? That is absolutely absolute. All the promises of God in Him are yea and amen. all of them. What is it in your life? What is it that's bothering you? What is it that you're wondering about? What is it that makes you afraid or insecure or apprehensive or just plain unsure? Don't worry about it. Well, isn't that kind of lackadaisical? No, it isn't. Why should I worry about what I can't do? Really? People worry about money they don't have. Why do you worry about money you don't have? If I worried about everything I don't have, I'd worry about almost everything. Why worry about the fact that you're unable? Why worry about the fact that you're insufficient? I could have told you that. Just as I'm insufficient, I can tell you that too. Why? Because I'm not supposed to be sufficient. I'm not supposed to be able. My strength is made perfect in your weakness, Paul. Paul said, God, there's this thing going on. He said, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. That is absolutely absolute. That means when I am weak, then I am strong. That is absolutely absolute. That is something you can stand on. You can take that one to the bank. That is something that is a part of the rock. That's what you build your house on, the absolutely absolutes. You don't build your house on uncertainty. You don't build your house on opinion. Man's opinion changes every day. It goes one day, like whichever way, whatever my dinner last night is doing in my stomach overnight, that's my opinion the next morning. Had a good night, I have one opinion. Had a rough night, I have another opinion. What good is a man's opinion? I'd rather stand on the Word of God, which is absolutely absolute. Hey, listen, the promises are good. The promises are good. They're absolutely absolute. The promises are good. They cannot lie. They cannot fall to the ground. They cannot fail. The promises are good. They will come through for you. Well, I don't really feel like they're going to come through for me. Or I'm anxious about whether they'll come through for me. Or I don't know if God's going to do this for me. You know what? You're trying to live in illusions. But it doesn't look like it's going to work out. You're living in an illusion. What can you see anyway? How quickly does vapor change? You blow a little and there goes your vapor. Like people try to walk by sight, but this sight is nothing more than an illusion. How do I know what I'm seeing? How do I know what God is doing behind the scenes? How do I know what is in a man's heart? How do I understand what's really going on? I don't understand anything. There was a day when Sodom disappeared. There was a day when Moses parted the Red Sea. There was a day when God called Abraham out of the land of the Chaldeans. There was a day, like Ur, right? He came out of Ur. And there was a day when he said to him, give up Isaac on the altar. And there was a day when he met him and said, I'm going to give you a son. There were days when these things happened. What was it like the day before? What was it like the day before Sodom disappeared? What was it like the day before God met Abraham? What was it like the day before Isaac was born or conceived? What was it like the day before Isaac was offered on the altar? The world was different, and the next day the world was different. What was it like the day before the flood started? The world was different than the following day. There was a moment in time when the first drop fell, and God's word turned out to be absolutely absolute. Noah, build me an ark. And God said to Noah, and Noah said, okay, God, I'll build you an ark. Now, nobody knew why Noah was building an ark. And even if they told Noah, I know that nobody believed him. Do you know how I know that nobody believed him? Because it was Noah and his family and nobody else on the ark. I imagine Noah got some pretty good attention building an ark. It was a big boat, not a little one. But it was absolutely absolute that 120 years later, the flood came. Started with a raindrop. Can you imagine what that must have been like? Has anybody ever had like water come out of your ceiling? Or maybe plaster fall off a wall? Or a shingle off your roof? And you see, uh-oh. A little bit of sky fell. And so, oh, this is weird. This was different. Yeah, it was different. One day it was one way and the next day it was another way. And God's word was absolutely absolute. You see, their sight was nothing more than an illusion. This is why the just walk by faith. Because then we have something that's absolutely absolute. Faith is a firm foundation. Sight is a shifting sand. Faith in the promises, faith in His Word, faith in God's character, and now I have something to stand on that is immovable. Sight, opinion, appearances doesn't look good. It's shifting sand. Today it may not look good. Tomorrow it might look worse. And the next day you won. Isn't this how the victories of God come? It looks bad today. It looks worse tomorrow. And the third day I win. These are absolutely absolutes. You're more than a conqueror, the Word of God says. We are more than conquerors. We are overcomers. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. These are absolutely absolutes. There's absolutely nothing that can separate you from the love of God. I don't care if you think there is. It doesn't matter what you think. It is absolutely absolute. Your opinion changes nothing. That I didn't believe or I was like this, it changes nothing. God's Word is absolutely absolute. God's Word is not dependent on whether I'm having a good day or a bad day. God's Word is not dependent on what my capacity is. God's Word is not dependent on whether I'm emotional or not emotional. God's Word doesn't depend on my intellect, my ability. How am I going to figure this out? Well, how will I do this? Doesn't matter how you will do it. You're not going to do it. God's going to do it. Faithful is He who's called you, who will also do it. It's absolutely absolute. Certain things are absolutely absolute. The world thinks they have a handle on things. The world has a handle on nothing. One day they think they're on the top of everything, and the next day a little bit of shaking of the earth and everybody's panicked. I don't blame them, but nevertheless, how reliable is that if the earth burps and people get all bent out of shape? How reliable is that? Well, I'll tell you one thing, God's Word is reliable. God is the one who said what will be. God is the one who said who I am. God is the one who said how things will end up. It's absolutely absolute. It's not written in stone. Stone is changeable. It is written forever in heaven how it will end up. His Word is settled in heaven. God is not a man that He should lie in Numbers 23:19, or the son of a man that He should repent. Has He said it and shall He not do it? Has He said it and shall He not do it? Answer the question. Has He said it and shall He not do it? Or has He spoken and shall He not make it good? Answer the question. Has He said it and shall He not make it good? Has He said it and shall He not do it? It's absolutely absolute. If God has said something, it will come to pass. If God has done something, it is a certainty. You can bank on it. It is a certainty. I can't see it. Though the vision is yet for an appointed time, it tarry. Although it tarry, wait for it. Because when it comes, it will not tarry. It will come. It will come. Habakkuk 2:3. It will come. It will come. It's absolutely absolute. The vision will come. It will come. John 16:23, whatsoever you ask in my Father's name, I will give it to you. Absolutely absolute. Well, isn't that if I'm asking according to His perfect will? No. Well, isn't that asking? If you see, believers have this thing. They think that in my Father's name is either if I say something silly like in the name of God, or if I do something like, you know, if my prayer is according to God's will. That's not what it's saying. It's if my life is in the character of God. Whatever you ask, as you are in the character of God. Well, if God is alive in me, then I am in the character of God. If God is alive in me, then the nature of God is alive in me. And the Word of God says, under that circumstance where God is alive in me, God's character is alive in me, God's nature is alive in me, whatsoever you ask, it will be given you. Well, what if this and what if that and what if this and what if that? What if? It's in your Bible. What if? Well, what if it doesn't work out? What if? Didn't Jesus say, I'm not going to tempt God? It's absolutely absolute. I ask, I receive. Well, what about those people who are sick and God never heals them? Who's to say God doesn't heal them? God doesn't heal them maybe in time, in the rare exception where they get a better resurrection. A hiatus from the planet is not removal from the planet. I'm going to be here for another 1,000 years. What if? It's absolutely absolute. Don't get it wrong, folks. It's absolutely absolute. It's God breathed. God said it. God meant it. It is a sure foundation. It is the thing you stand on. It is the thing you rely on. It is the thing you trust. It is a done deal. His word is forever settled in heaven. Don't receive Satan's religious rationalizations to bring you into unbelief towards the promises of God. It's absolutely absolute. It is absolutely absolute. Whatsoever, turn there, John 16:23, and the B part of the verse. Whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it to you. What are the stipulations there? Are you born again? Is God alive in you? Whatsoever you ask in my name, He will give it to you. If the character of God is alive in my heart, then He will give it to me. By the way, the character of God has nothing to do with your emotions. Nothing to do with whether you feel it or not. It either is alive or it is not alive. Okay, fine. Then turn to Matthew 21:22 if you don't want to believe that. All things. How many? All things. Which ones? All things. Are there exceptions to this rule? I don't see any here. The Word of God says all things. Whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Well, what if I don't believe? What if I waver? Doesn't the Word of God says that I receive nothing if I waver? Yeah, don't you realize the context of that is talking about wisdom from the Holy Spirit? It says, if you believe, well, what if I don't believe? Matthew 7:7, ask and you shall receive. If you have enough faith to ask, you have enough faith to receive. Well, why do I ask for things that aren't answered? Is it? Have you seen the end of the matter? Have you seen the end of the matter? Have you seen the end of the matter? Today you want, maybe tomorrow you won't. Today you ask, maybe tomorrow you haven't received. But what happens next week? Have you seen the end of the matter? My Bible says that whatsoever you ask in prayer believing, you shall receive it. Matthew 7:8. Everyone that asks receives. Everyone who asks receives. It's absolutely absolute. Everyone who asks receives. I don't know about what your Bible says, but my Bible, this is the King James. I'm sure if yours is the Amplified or the Revised Standard or whatever else, good literal translation Bible there, it's saying the same thing. Maybe if you have one of those funny translations, it's saying different, but then you don't want to read that anyway. It's absolutely absolute. Do you get it? It's absolutely absolute. Everyone that asks of God receives from God. It is a promise. It cannot lie. God is not a man that He should lie. All the promises are yea and amen. It is absolutely absolute. This passage is forever settled in heaven, and it was true from the beginning. Whoever, anyone, whoever asks of God will receive. Done deal. John 16:24. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. How many people are miserable? Are you asking God to receive something? Are you trusting God? Hey God, I'm over here. God, this is my petition. God, oh, I did that and it didn't work out. Oh, I see, so you are now at the end. It's absolutely absolute. You know, the thief was on the cross. And he still got saved. Jesus was dead. And he still met him in Galilee. He said, boys, after they crucify me, kill me, bury me, put me in the tomb, I'll meet you in Galilee. Can you imagine that? Excuse me, fellas, after they shoot me, I'm going to have my funeral, they're going to put me in the ground, and then a Tuesday after that, I'll meet you at Starbucks. Would you say it was crazy? No, it was absolutely absolute. He did it. It's exactly how it happened. He did it. It's absolutely absolute. The Word of God is absolutely absolute. You can stand on it. You can trust it. You can rest in it. You can have assurance in it. You see, the funny thing is, well, I don't know what's going to come. But my Bible says in John 16:13 that the Spirit of truth guides me in all truth. My Bible says that the Spirit of truth shows me the things to come. And so if I have a prayer, if I have a vision, if I have a call, I know the things to come. If I have a promise from God, I know the things to come. Because they are absolutely absolute. Well, then where are they? Just you wait. Because whatever God has said, it will be exactly as He has said. Has He said it, and shall He not do it? Has He said, come on, you still haven't answered the question. Has He said it, and shall He not do it? Of course He'll do it. If He said it, He'll do it. In 2 Timothy 2:13, God abides faithful. God abides faithful. Do you get it? God abides faithful. Tell me what it is that you're wondering if He'll come through. Do you wonder if His promise will come through? Do you wonder if His word is reliable? Do you understand? Do you wonder if the call will leave you hanging? God abides faithful. You wonder what is going to happen because you weren't always right. You weren't super spiritual, super giant mega man. God abides faithful. You get that? God abides faithful. He's not going to let you down. He's not just going to, okay, you come this far, but I'm getting bored of you, so I'm going to go over there. See ya, bye. I'm going to find better company. God abides faithful. I don't know. I've been here a long time, and this is really getting kind of hard for me, God says. So I'll see you guys later. I'm just dropping the matter. I don't think so. That's quite wrong. That's not how God works. God abides faithful. God abides. What He starts, He perfects. What He starts, He perfects. If He started it, He will bring it to completion. What He starts, He perfects. He doesn't start and then quit. He starts and perfects it. He says, okay, we're going to go on a journey and we're not leaving till we get there. He's not like a man. People will often start things, get tired of it, find it hard, get confused, drop it and say, okay, I'm going on to the next thing. God's not like that. What He starts, He completes. And He does it perfectly. Do you get that? What He starts, He completes. He doesn't bring us halfway. He doesn't do half a job. He's not half faithful. He's not half done. And He's not a cake half baked. God abides faithful. Ephraim was a cake half baked. But not God. Never. Not God. Not in a million years. Not God. Now, thanks be to God in 2 Corinthians 2:14, which always causes us to triumph. Well, I don't know. Maybe there's going to be a... No, my Bible says turn there. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph. What if I lose? Thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph. This is absolutely absolute. God said always, He didn't say sometimes. God said always, He didn't say most of the time. God said always, He didn't say 99.9% of the time, and at 0.01% you're on your face. God said always causes us to triumph. Thanks be unto God that always causes us to triumph. That is absolutely absolute. You can take it to the bank. It's absolutely absolute. It won't fail. It won't waver. It won't flip. It won't change. God always causes us to triumph. This is absolutely absolute. There's no ambiguity. There's no uncertainty. Nothing in the original language raises a question about this. It's absolutely absolute. God always causes us to triumph. Isaiah 54:17. Turn there, please. The Word of God says, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. No weapon, not most weapons, not some weapons, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Not one of them shall succeed. Not one of them will do well. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. I don't care what the weapon is. I don't care if it's an atom bomb. Somebody tries to drop an atom bomb on your head, it will not prosper. No weapon formed against you will prosper. It's not possible. It's not going to happen. This is absolutely absolute. Somebody comes against you. Somebody tries to hurt you. Somebody tries to do something negative. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. But every tongue, now get this, but every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you will condemn. Every tongue that speaks against you, you will condemn. You will prove it wrong. It is absolutely absolute that not one weapon formed against you can prosper, and that every tongue that comes against you in judgment, you're going to condemn it. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, says the Lord. My heritage as a child of God is that no weapon formed against me can prosper, and if anybody starts to talk or act against me, I will condemn them. And I'm not going to condemn them with my attitude or my words. I'm going to condemn them with my victory. That's what it's talking about. It is absolutely absolute. You can rest in that. You can bet on it. You can do whatever you like. It is absolutely absolute. In Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble. God is my refuge. God is my strength. God is the one who protects me. God is the one who strengthens me. And God is the one who helps me in trouble. And He doesn't help me. He takes me through it. He takes me by the hand and guides me. And underneath me are His everlasting arms. In Romans 14 form, He makes me stand. I don't care what the trouble is. God's going to make me stand. Don't be afraid of shadows. Believers are frequently afraid of shadows. Well, there's a valley of shadow of death and it frightens me. It's a shadow. It's a shadow. Have you ever cast a shadow on the ground on a nice sunny day? I got news for you. You're in a body of death. Therefore, your shadow is a shadow of death. Those are no different than your own shadows. Why are people afraid of shadows? God is absolutely absolute. God's word is absolutely absolute. God's promises are absolutely absolute. God's character is absolutely absolute. Don't be afraid of shadows. In Hebrews 13:5, in the B part of the verse, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Do you get that? He will never leave you nor forsake you. He will not leave you and He will not forsake you. In Psalm 55:22, cast your burden upon the Lord and He shall sustain you. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. You got something that scares you? You got something that worries you? Throw it on God. God, yours, I'm relaxing. God, here's the problem, I'm relaxing. God, I know you're going to do it because you're faithful. God said, hey, perfect the things which concerns you. He's going to perfect the things that concerns you. That's absolutely absolute. What is it that concerns you? God's going to perfect it. God's going to bring it to completion. God will make it happen. God will do whatever it needs to. He will perfect it. It's absolutely absolute. In Judges 2:1, in the B part of the verse, I will never break my covenant with you. I will never break my covenant with you. Did you know that a call is a type of covenant? Did you know that a promise is a type of covenant? Did you know that the plan of God in your life is a type of covenant? I will never break my covenant with you, God says. It's absolutely absolute. Will not happen. Cannot happen. Anybody who wants to try can try. It doesn't make a hell of beans a difference. It's absolutely absolute. You can stand on it. You can rest in it. You can park there for as long as you like. It is the truth of the matter. It is unchanging. It is unyielding. And it will stand. God is absolutely absolute. This is why God said, the battle is mine. Israel, the battle is mine. Get out on the battlefield. The battle is mine. Don't be afraid of the fight. The fight belongs to God. Don't be afraid to slug it out. God will do the slugging. You do the observing and watch your win come. Chalk one up to God. Okay. God is the heavyweight champion of eternity. Forget of the world. The world is small beans. God is the heavyweight champion of eternity. He's the one doing the slugging. It's absolutely absolute. Matthew 28:20. I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. Do you understand that? I am with you always. Well, I know that you're with me when I'm doing well and I'm spiritual and I'm saying all the right things. But when I'm losing my mind, you're not with me, are you? I am with you always. Always. Eternal. Always. Absolutely. Absolute. I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. In Psalm 139:7, where shall I go from your spirit? And where shall I flee from your presence? Okay, if God's not with you always, then where are you going to go to avoid being with God always? Well, you don't understand. I mean, God doesn't fellowship with my iniquities. God doesn't fellowship with your iniquities, but you're not your iniquities. You are His bride. You are His body. You are His beloved. You are His temple. God fellowships with you, not with your iniquities, but with you. By the way, God has removed those iniquities as far as the east is from the west. He remembers your sins no more, and that is absolutely absolute. I am perfect in Christ. Absolutely absolute. 2 Corinthians 5:17, I am new creation. Absolutely absolute. Revelation 1:5, I've been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. It's absolutely absolute. God does not remember my sins. It's absolutely absolute. God is no bean counter. I heard a guy say one time, God is the divine bean counter. I was thinking to myself, God doesn't have enough beans. God would have to create beans if He were to count them. Create a whole other universe of beans. Well, I got news for you. Your insecurity, your doubt, your guilt doesn't amount to a hill of beans. It's absolutely absolute. You got that? It's absolutely absolute. You're a new creation. Absolutely absolute. Old things are passed away. It's absolutely absolute. You know what I did? Don't care what you did. It's passed away. Absolutely absolute. I remember. Then stop lying to yourself. It's absolutely absolute. Simple as that. Whose life are you living anyway? In Galatians 2:20. Well, my Bible says that it's Christ who lives in me. I don't live, it's Christ who lives in me. It's a different life. It's not some old dead guy. It's the living Savior. It's absolutely absolute. Simple as that. I think it's really very easy. I'm not saying people's circumstances are always easy, but I think trusting God is. I think knowing His character is. I think believing what He has said is not hard at all. What do you rather believe? Your circumstance by sight or God's Word that cannot be moved? I rather believe God's Word. Oh, by the way, God can go, and there goes your circumstance. God went, and there was the world. God went, and there's you. God can just easily go, and there's your circumstance. It's absolutely absolute. It's absolute. God wins. And because God wins, I win. I remember one time years ago, I knew a middleweight boxing champion, Golden Gloves boxing champion, two drunken rednecks, drunken rednecks jumped him. And he just two guys out cold, two other guys running away, and my friend over there giggling, watching them run. It's absolutely, absolutely, you can't take on God. He couldn't take on that guy, he can't take on God. It's simple. It's simple. It's really simple. Don't let your insecurity about your capacity scare you. Because God's Word is absolutely absolute. Don't let the fact that your capacity is not large scare you. Even if you don't believe, God abides faithful. It's absolutely absolute. Remember, there are no gray areas. There is no confusion, there is no uncertainty, there is no vagueness or ambiguity. It is absolute. And God's word is absolutely absolute. You can't lose because you've already won. Do you get it? You can't lose because I'm not talking about heaven, I'm talking about time. Didn't the Son say to the Father, give me a portion of my inheritance? And the Father did. If you need something now, God will give it to you now. If you need God to give you something provision, God will give you. If you need to move a mountain, God will move a mountain. Get this. If you need to move a person, God will move a person. I've moved people in prayer. 6 months ago, my neighbors who were just obnoxious as can be, all vulgar and loud at middle, and I said, God, this is not acceptable. I said, God, get those people. I don't care. I don't care how you do it. God, get them out of there. A few weeks later, they're out of there. They got evicted. As a matter of fact, they didn't just get evicted. Their landlord paid them to leave. He did. He bought them out. Their landlord paid them to leave. God is faithful. You need a person moved, God can move a person. You need a circumstance to move, God can move your circumstance. You need something to change, God can change it. You need somebody's heart to turn, God can turn it. God moves people. If their heart won't change, their location will. God moves people. God changes circumstances. Do you get that? God changes circumstances. If you ask, you will receive. Right? If you ask, you will receive. If you ask for God to act, He will act. It is absolutely absolute. There's no two ways about it. There's no question about it. God gave promises, and the promises cannot lie. It's absolutely absolute. Not one promise of God falls to the ground. It is absolutely absolute. When God says it, He does it. It's absolutely absolute. If He said it, He will make it good. If He started the work, He will complete it. It's absolutely absolute. Do you get it? It's absolutely absolute. You can rest in this. You can trust this. You can believe it. You can plan on it. It is the Word of God. It is absolutely absolute. How is it that Jesus said, I say unto you, and He says before this, John 14:12, verily, verily, truly, truly, this is a reality. God's verily, verilies are, this is serious, this I mean business right here, listen to this carefully, this is absolutely absolute. I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. The fact that my Savior is before my Father means that I'm going to move mountains more than He did. It is absolutely absolute. What's the mountain in your life? Everybody's got one. What's the mountain in your life? God moves mountains when believers pray. Do you understand this? It is absolutely absolute. God moves mountains when believers pray. God moves mountains when believers pray. This is something that I rest in. This is something I can trust. Because God's Word does not lie. And by the way, God's Word doesn't come back void. If God's words come out, they do its effect. They have their effect. They have their effect. God's Word doesn't come back void. God said it, He meant it. It's absolutely absolute. The Word of God says that His mercy endures forever. Psalm 136, 26 times He says, His mercy endures forever. What is God's mercy? I don't live a sinful life. It's by mercy that He answers prayer. It's by mercy that He inclines His ear. It's by mercy that He moves our mountains. It's by mercy that He moves our people. It's by mercy that He answers prayer. It's by mercy that He does things. God's Word is true. And it was true from the beginning. It was true from the beginning. Deuteronomy 23:5. God took the curse and turned it into a blessing. God takes your curses and He turns them into blessings. It's absolutely absolute. God takes your curses and He turns them into blessings. What is the curse in your life? God turns it into a blessing. Look for the biggest curse and you'll find the biggest blessing. God turns curses into blessings. In John 16:20, you may be sorrowful now, but your sorrow will turn into joy. This is absolutely absolute. The believer's sorrow always turns into joy. How's he going to do that? I don't know. I don't care. I'm not God. He is. He's going to do it. All I care about is, did he say it or didn't he? And my Bible says that our sorrow, God will turn into joy. What is it that scares you? It's going to make you happy one day. What is it that makes you insecure? It's going to be a source of strength for you one day. Our sorrow turns into joy. It's absolutely absolute. You see, His Word really is true from the beginning. From the very start of your matter, His Word is true. Trust Him. Believe Him. Believe the things that He said. They're absolutely absolute. You see, you may find things of the world, and you may find things of man that may intimidate, but heaven and earth will pass away. But that which is absolutely absolute will never pass away. It's incapable of failing. As a believer, I orient myself to that which is absolutely absolute. Now, here's one thing that people will do sometimes. They'll orient themselves to the emotion responding to the situation, and they lack reason in the Word of God, because their emotions don't think. I won't believe God so long as I believe my emotions. Ignore the emotions. They are vapors. And simply believe God. Simple as that. I'm not saying you won't have the emotions. I'm saying don't pay attention to them. Simply believe God. And if the emotions rage, then look the other way instead of at your emotions. Because the moment your focus is your emotions, Your focus is no longer that which is absolutely absolute. Like I said, you'll have the emotions, just don't listen to them. It's simple as that. God is bigger than the emotions. God is bigger than the circumstances. God is bigger than the trials. God is bigger than anything. And His Word is absolutely absolute. It will be as God has said. Because He had breathed it. So just as sure as you're alive, the promises of God are good. Amen.